SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
And we're up and running in tonight's edition of Carver and Lisi Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159. Lisi in the cockpit for just a couple of segments. Fear not, Carver will be with us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to touch on a lot to get into tonight. We have NBA action. We do have the golf to talk about a little bit later in the show. NFL playoffs, college football title game on tap on Monday night. I did get involved for everybody that wants to know. You know, it's very hard for me to sit here for 2 hours straight and not get involved. I know Carver High bashes me, saying that, you know, the football season is winding down, and it hasn't wound down just yet. Super Bowl is on top in terms of February 9th. Once that happens, then maybe I get a little depressed and I get back to the gym about 4 or 5 days a week. But I did get involved, and I was talking to Matthias Hipperbell behind the scenes, that I did get involved. I had a couple of no sweat bets tonight. So before I go into my rant, I'll tell you what I had. Now, Matthias, I held this back. This is the one that I actually think has a shot tonight in terms of college hoops. I did take High Point out in North Carolina, laying the 4.5 against Longwood. They're tied 34 up at halftime. Come on, High Point. I laid the 4.5. I put it in a parlay with Hofstra. Hofstra catching 4.5 on the road in Towson. They do have the 41-32 lead at halftime. So we have a little bit of life in terms of that two-team parlay. The one that I'm dead and buried in, and I'll get into this, why I need a slap, and maybe Matthias or Carver High could give it to me. Why do I back with all of my free bets in terms of NBA? Donovan Mitchell, I'm a pig for punishment. I took Donovan Mitchell tonight, 4 threes, Donovan Mitchell for 25 points, and SGA for 35 plus. Now, SGA comes right out of the gate. He converts and hits 6 of 9 from the field. He's got 15 points in the first quarter. This hack, Donovan Mitchell, of course, has 1 3 and 3 points. This guy needs to shoot about 46 three-pointers to make 3 or 4. I'm dead in the water with this. I don't even know why I get involved, but I'm back in Donovan Mitchell. And then, of course, I jump on Cade Cunningham tonight. Detroit's playing well. Cade Cunningham, you know, all-star. So I say, you know what? I'm going to take Tim Hardaway Jr. for 3+3s. He's already in the yard in terms of the first half. And Cade Cunningham for 25 points with Siakam for 25. Siakam's got 10. Okay, I could take that. Cade Cunningham, another hack. 5 points in the first half. And I got Hipper Bell behind the scenes telling me, don't worry. Don't worry. He's playing hot. He's playing hot. We got no shot. No shot to hit this tonight. And you're laughing. Nah, you think it's all fun and games. Nah, with my
giggles.
Time.
I'm giggles.
Yeah.
No, Joe, you know what? The Cade Cunningham. Yeah. Johnny Giggles. No, Joe. You know, I think Cade's up for 15 points in the second half. Absolutely. And I see Occam's on his way.
I need him for 20. I have him for 25.
Yeah, I know. He has 5. He has 5 points.
So
he needs 15 points in the second half.
Let's hope.
He's 15. He's 15 in the second half.
Keep me up to date on that. Now, before we talk about the games, and we'll talk about it in next segment, we'll set everything up. I do want to get into some things that transpired today in terms of the NFL. We saw a number of teams come out with Deion Sanders, and we saw Kellen Moore. Those names floated around in terms of the opening with the Dallas Cowboys. And we also saw Bill Belichick's girlfriend not too long ago come out with a tweet and a response saying that they're fully committed to Chapel Hill in North Carolina. Really? So she's obviously running the boat. It's obvious that Bill Belichick in his 70s is answering to his 27 your old girlfriend in terms of making life choices at this time in his life, because he hasn't signed the contract. We've saw Mike Lombardi come out and say he's on the recruiting trail, and that's all well and good. But if he's going to be dedicated to North Carolina, can we at least fill out the coaching staff? Can we at least get, you know, the coaching staff intact for spring ball? Now, he's been in New Jersey. He's been in the tri-state area. He's hitting all the big schools in terms of St. Joe's, Don Bosco, Bergen Catholic. We'll see in terms of if he can recruit, especially at the quarterback position, because the one thing I will say is that you want to knock Mac Brown for not living up to expectations. No problem with that. But he was able to at least allure quarterback talent to Chapel Hill, players like Drake May, players like Sam Howell, and he was able to elevate, at least from an offensive perspective, and a North Carolina offense that was averaging over the past couple of seasons over 30 points per game. So we'll see what Bill Belichick does in terms of the recruiting trail. I do believe that if Jerry Jones did throw, let's say, $15 million at Bill Belichick tomorrow for the Dallas Cowboys, I do believe it's about a 65-35 shot that Bill Belichick would take the job with the Dallas Cowboys. But on the flip side, for Deion, we've saw him come out and say he's committed, if possible, to potentially becoming the new Dallas Cowboys head coach. Now, there's been rumors back in Boulder saying that he was using that type of lure to leverage Boulder and leverage more money out of the university, and he was met with some resistance. Then his son Shedeur Sanders came out and made a statement saying that he could be potentially see himself as the franchise quarterback or the face of the Dallas Cowboys moving forward. I just want to say this right now. For Jerry Jones, he has two options. He has the option to keep the staff and keep the roster the way it is, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and utilize maybe a Super Bowl all-time winning head coach in regards of Bill Belichick and elevating that potential team to the likes of an NFC championship, or potentially breaking it up, going with Deion, getting all the lights, getting all the fandom back in Big D, and maybe becoming a 500 football team, but at the very least, getting the excitement back in Dallas, because you weren't getting it with Jason Garrett. You weren't getting it with Mike McCarthy, just vanilla type of head coach. Mike McCarthy was brought in to potentially elevate this team to the next level because he had the success, he had the resume, and it looked like that he was and appeared that he was a much better head coach than Jason Garrett. And you know what? He was basically Jason Garrett 2.0 in Dallas. Couldn't elevate this team to an NFC championship. Had very good regular seasons, but in the playoffs, laid an egg, was gutless, couldn't elevate Dak Prescott outside of becoming a human turnover machine in terms of playoff environments. With Deion, you get the lights, you get the Hollywood, you get all that fanfare, but does it equate to wins in terms of the NFL? I'm not so sure. The other aspect that I want to take a look at, and we'll get Carver's take as well, is what are the New York Jets doing? The New York Jets are absolutely interviewing everyone in Korea. Arthur Smith, gutless Arthur Smith, they put out a tweet. We just finished an interview with Arthur Smith. Great, great job, Jets. If you hire Arthur Smith, you're absolutely out of your mind. And what are NFL teams absolutely doing interviewing a gutless OC? As a head coach, he couldn't get it done in Atlanta. Couldn't elevate that team to potentially a championship. Couldn't even elevate them to a potential playoff win. Underachieved in Atlanta with a bunch of offensive weapons and no real expectations. And you want this guy that couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag? Couldn't utilize Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts? Couldn't elevate Pittsburgh's offense over the last 5 weeks in the regular season into the playoffs, where they average 170 passing yards per game, and this is who you want to coach? Get real, man. Wake up.
Like that. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Barbara and Lisa, Lisa in the coffin. Johnny Skinbox will be back. Bottom of the hour. I can't wait to break his chops. We're going to talk Buffalo Bills. We're going to talk about all the NFL playoff action. But these head coaches, these retreads, these organizations that are interviewing multiple people, and I understand there's a process, but there's a process with quality candidates. You know, there's a process with quality coordinators. Arthur Smith isn't even wanted in Pittsburgh. You want to hire this guy as your head coach for the New York Jets, Jacksonville Jaguars, or any up-and-coming organization looking to get out from the black hole that you've created over the past couple of seasons? Get real. Get real. It is amazing to me how some of these teams view offensive coordinators or view retreads. Oh, he'll, you know, he had a bad shot in Atlanta. It was just didn't work out. He didn't get along with the organization, or he didn't have the right talent. Well, what was the excuse in Pittsburgh? Because he absolutely didn't know what to do when Russell Wilson threw for 414 yards against Cincinnati. He put a clear stop to that type of offensive approach. And that's the only way you can win in the NFL today. You need to be built in order to win up-tempo, high-scoring games, and you also need to win lower-scoring games where your quarterback isn't at an elite level and rely in terms of ball security and rely on maybe a ball control attack against an elite defense. There are certain teams that are built that way, others that are not. And clearly for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were a one-dimensional offense, and they stalled down the stretch. And teams are interested in that gutless OC for their head coaching organization and are scratching their heads about Joe Brady and Ben Johnson and Bobby Slowick and all the and Cohen from Tampa Bay that put up huge dynamic numbers as it relates to the passing attack, elevated their quarterbacks throughout the regular season to a level where they became a competitive AFC and NFC contender. And those guys we're not sure about. But a gutless OC like Arthur Smith that has been a retread in Tennessee, Atlanta, keeps getting job opportunities along with Robert Saleh. I mean, give me a break. The guy was head coach in New York, one of the biggest markets. Yes, from a defensive perspective, great DC. Didn't know how to run an organization. But I want that guy to lead my team. Get real. It's amazing. This is why organizations fail on multiple levels. Now, when you look at the games this weekend, we'll start with Saturday. I think both of those games on Saturday are the most intriguing to me from a clear perspective. And let me tell you why. It's a rematch in terms of the first game. We got Houston and Kansas City. This game played out in terms of week 16. Kansas City was basically a four-point home favorite. Total was 42.5. That was the Saturday game. The game did have 46 points. Sailed over the total. That was the game that went back and forth. Tank Dell scores a touchdown early in the third quarter. He gets hurt, dislocated knee, terrible injury. And from that point on, they missed the extra point, and Houston was flat in terms of the fourth quarter. They lose it 27-19. You have a team in Houston that last year overexceeded expectations. They get the home playoff win against Joe Flacco in Cleveland, played with Baltimore for a half, tied 10 apiece last year on the road, and second half, the wheels fell off. What has Houston learned from that type of playoff experience, especially now, a more mature team? They get the home win over a very good L.A. Charger team, a Super Bowl winning or a Super Bowl coach in regards to Jim Harbaugh, national champion. They outplayed them in terms of the second half, not just offensively, but more importantly, defensively. What has D'Amico Ryans learned as a head coach in terms of that first matchup and in terms of that loss last year to a much better Baltimore Ravens team? Let's see how much they've evolved as a team. Now, record-wise, they sort of regressed, right? But in the playoffs, they stepped up. This is a huge step-up spot. They're catching 8.5 points. This is 4.5 points more than what they caught in terms of the Week 16 matchup. You have a team that's rested in terms of Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, 3 weeks of prep. We know that obviously Andy Reid and that team are dominant at home. They've stepped up. But I believe that offense with C.J. Stroud can make some plays over to the top. I like the over of 41.5, and I think Nico Collins could have a big day. But more importantly, Dalton Schultz and Stover, the tight ends. And why do I say that? Week one, you look at Baltimore, Isaiah Likely, 100-yard performance. You look at the loss for Cincinnati by 1 point, right, against Kansas City. Chase didn't have a dynamic day. It was Gesicki, 94-plus yards. You saw the Chargers. I believe Stone, Smart, and Disley made some yards on that secondary. You saw multiple teams. Bowers had a big day and was able to really exploit mismatches against the linebacker crew. That's where I think Houston could exploit in terms of the linebackers and nickelbacks of Kansas City. That's going to be the matchup. Stroud has to be clean with the football, but we're not talking about 3 or 4 points. We're talking about an 8.5-point number on the road. That's a huge number to cover, even if you are the Kansas City Chiefs. I really like the over in terms of that first matchup. I think 41.5, 42, as long as it's under 43, I'm taking a shot. I think you can get into the high 40s in terms of that matchup. Second game, Washington is exactly like C.J. Stroud and Houston last year. You had a rookie quarterback playing lights out. They have won 6 straight games. They're battle-tested. They get a gutty road win over a very good Tampa Bay team. They're playing with house money. I understand Detroit's a dominant home team. I understand Detroit has won those games at home this year by an average margin of victory of 16.5 points per game. I understand David Montgomery's coming back. But if that Detroit defense blitzes Jaden Daniels the way they did against Sam Darnold, I'm telling you this right now. Keep an eye out for Jaden Daniels on the ground. His ability to break contain could be exactly the recipe for Washington to win that matchup. That is the matchup for Washington. Aiden Daniels and man-to-man coverage. That means 40 for his life. We'll come back. We'll talk more NFL playoffs covering week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi. Lisi in the cockpit for just a couple more segments. Carver High will be joining us. We'll get into some of the action in terms of the NBA. Also break down a little bit more in detail Ohio State and Notre Dame. We've seen that total move just a little bit. We've seen it open at 45.5, seen 46.5, even potentially 47s as it relates to the total. So we'll break that down as well. A lot of people on Ohio State, and rightfully so. I think a lot of people in regards to just breaking down the matchup, if they're taking Notre Dame, they don't believe that Notre Dame can win a higher scoring game, right? They don't believe if this game does get over, let's say 46.5, 47, that potentially would maybe favor Ohio State because of the explosiveness of their offense. The playmakers are Jeremiah Smith and Buka at the wide receiver position, Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson, and obviously Will Howard playing at an elite level. But I disagree. I think Notre Dame, if they can run the football, I think they could score and potentially get over their team total in regards to the matchup. The one thing I think when you look at the game against Texas, and I know you could say Sark made some terrible calls. I think the one philosophy or the one approach that he didn't stick to long enough was allowing Quinn Ewers to throw the football. I would have taken a different approach. Once they got the game tied up at 14, I would have still relied on the rushing attack of Jaden Blue and Wisner. I did think there were opportunities there to run on Ohio State. I think there's potentially opportunities for Notre Dame to run on the front seven of the Buckeyes. Think about the Buckeyes in regards to some of the matchups that they have struggled with. You look at the Oregon matchup on the road. Dylan Gabriel made some plays with his legs. Jordan James had a huge day. Offensive line was able to run the football, get into manageable third downs. Look at Nebraska. That game on the road in Columbus, Nebraska at one point in the second half was running the football at will on that front seven. I think Notre Dame, from a physicality perspective, is built like Michigan. That doesn't mean that, though, if they have success on the ground, they can't work off of play action and have Riley Leonard potentially challenge that defense over the top. So keep an eye out for that. I think Notre Dame can get through their total. I do back Notre Dame from the spread perspective. I like the over as well. I'm not backing down. The title game is very difficult for me to go with an under. It's hard because even if you're up and you're Notre Dame or you're Ohio State, it's never enough. You don't want to be complacent. You don't want to sit on a score. Unless you're up 28-0 potentially in the early fourth quarter, there's no reason to take your foot off the gas. So when you look at points and you look at the ability to score 30 and 35 for both teams, that's clearly on the table. Now, the last time that both of these teams played was last year with Sam Hartman. That was the game where Hartman did put his team in a position, only threw for about 175, 180 yards in terms of the matchup. Defensively, they played well, but they made some critical mistakes down the stretch. Cost them in the final minute of that matchup where Ohio State was able to steal one. What has Marcus Freeman learned? Similar to what we talk about in regards to D'Amico Ryans as a head coach, right? What has Marcus Freeman learned in terms of that matchup last year, now with all the chips in the middle of the table? The pressure's still on Ryan Day, right? They were expected to be here. Marcus Freeman knocking off Georgia. This team can play with anybody. Still battle-tested, came from behind against Drew Aller. His quarterback gets hurt. You have Angeli that comes in, makes plays. Every player that played in regards to that semifinal game stepped up in a big way. Keep an eye out for the tight end as well in terms of that matchup. Mitchell Evans, he had 58 yards against Penn State. He could be a critical factor going up against Ohio State as well. Gunnar Helm made some plays for Texas. Mitchell Evans could be another player to exploit that Ohio State defense. These games are very intriguing when you look at it. Monday's matchup in terms of the college football playoff and the playoff games on Saturday and Sunday. And when you look at Sunday's games, what's interesting is a lot of people buying into Matt Stafford, a lot of people buying into the Rams after that performance against Minnesota. I can tell you this right now. As a Ram backer, and I love Matt Stafford, and I love the Rams as a whole, you cannot be one-dimensional against that defensive front in terms of the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll come back. We'll dive into some other action right here on Carver and Lisi. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Lisi in the cockpit for Carver. Now, before in the top half of the show, I gave out some parlays that I'm on right now. I'm on High Point. High Point was tied at the half, 34 apiece. And I have them in a parlay with Hofstra. So right now, High Point absolutely getting abused by Longwood. I couldn't tell you one player on Longwood. But I'm telling you this right now, with 13-13 left in the second half, High Point trails by 7 points. I need them to get it into gear. At around the 10-minute mark, if I'm going to hit this bet, I need them to at least be tied. And then maybe we could, you know, obviously steal it in the final 2 minutes in regards to that. Hofstra with a 47-42 lead over Townsend right now, 11-11 left. Now, let me just say this. On the mobile app, FanDuel does an update. Something happens with the updates. I don't know if Kay Cunningham has 5 points. Matias told me he's got like 9. Hardaway's in the door. Indiana's up 55-51 right now on Detroit. Hardaway I have for 3 threes. He's in. I have Cunningham for 25 points and Siakam for 25. I don't even know where they stand right now. Hopefully we have a shot.
Siakam has 18, Joe. Siakam has 18 points.
Where's Cunningham?
He got 9 points, but you told me he needed 20 points. You didn't tell me he needed 25.
Well, because I have two parlays, Matias. The other one with Cunningham is...
Good news, Joe. He has 11 points now. Kane is up to 11 points with 8 minutes left in the third.
So that's good. Here's the other one that, again, complete money burn. Thankfully, it's a no-sweat token because Donovan Mitchell, I believe, has 5 points. 1 3-pointer. I need him to get to 4. SGA, I need to get to 30. So 35. So hopefully we have a shot in regards to that. Let me give you some updates.
Joe, Shea is cooking. Shea has 26 points. 26 points, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has. 30 seconds left in the half.
Maybe we have a shot. So let me give you some updated lines. Indiana right now, 79-64 over Detroit. Laying 12.5 on FanDuel, minus 1,200 on the money line. 240 is the under and over, minus 114 either way. Phoenix and Washington. Phoenix all over the Wizards. Up by 20, laying 21.5, 7:10 left in the third. 234 is the total. 234.5, minus 120, juice to the over. Cleveland getting crushed by OKC. They're down 75-52, minus 15.5 for the Thunder. Minus 3,500 on the money line. 244 and a hook is the total, juiced heavily to the over at minus 120. Clippers right now about to get underway in about an hour and a half. They're laying 7 to Portland. Total right there is 220.5. And then you got the Rockets and Kings. Rockets catching 4.5. Total 224.5. You know what, Matias? The Kings played the other night, right? And that was a dead under, if I'm not mistaken. How about over 224.5 Rockets and Kings? You want to alt it? Maybe we could alt it up into the 240s.
Joe, I like the props in this game. I think we could get some great value. Yeah, I do. I do. I think we could do some work right here. And we keep it simple. And we keep it with Sabonis bounds. We go high with Sabonis bounds.
With the Sabonis.
I'm telling you, Joe. Sabonis is one of the best rebounders in the Western Conference, Joe. He's going to smoke it tonight against an undersized Rockets team. He's going to get his bounce. He's going to get up to 16 bounce.
Yeah. How about this,
Joe? We can inflate this number. Malik Monk is hit or miss, Joe. He's hit or miss, Malik Monk. He really is. One night, he's like Donovan Mitchell. You know what I mean? When you bet him, he sucks. When you don't bet him, he drops 26. So he stays on your mind. I like this Sengun for the Rockets, over his point total, and we could even dig deeper because he's going to get into the 20s, and I like Sabonis with the bounds. And we could add extra bounds to inflate that number that I know you like to do.
Well, why don't
we
do this?
I think we could dig deep with
those
guys.
I got a bet for us before Carver comes in. Over 224.5, Malik Monk 4 threes, and Malik Monk, the complete money burn for 25 points. It pays 681. You say he's hit or miss. Let's go for broke tonight. All right? I'm on Malik's Monk.
Okay.
All right? How about that? Hey, look at who it is. Johnny Bandana. Right back with the Malik's Monks. There he is. What up, guy?
What's going on?
Are you backing me with Malik Monk?
Now, well, so look at you. All it took was a couple nights, and suddenly you're in. Oh, look at this. NBA bets, Malik Monk, him. You're all involved now, huh? You're in on the NBA. Let's go.
So let me ask you a question, okay? I took a bet. You're going to think I'm absolutely crazy. But I guess Devin Booker's on fire because I actually took this bet. So, I have High Point laying 4.5 right now. Hang in there. They're down 3. I have a parlay, Carver, on a no-sweat token. High Point minus 4.5. Hofstra plus 4.5. High Point in North Carolina. How about that? I couldn't even tell you the mascot. I know they're a good lacrosse team. That's it. And Hofstra hanging in against Townsend.
Booker's got 24, huh? Booker's got 24 for the Suns?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Does he?
Nice effort.
I don't know.
Jeez. Nice effort by the Cavs tonight in that big game against the Thunder. Jeez. Down 26 at the half. My God. We play a little bit better? Nice effort. What else is going on, Joe? What you been doing? What's happening here?
Nothing. I just bashed Arthur Smith for about, I felt like an hour because I still
rather,
can't.
I would rather I bash can't. The teams that would actually interview him than him.
No, I mean, that's what just... I was doing. No. That's what I was doing. The Jets. I still can't get over that they're tweeting this stuff out like where people should be excited. Like, yeah. Is that like, and I know we bash the Jets. But, like, are they doing this? Let me ask you. Are they doing this to get the fan base excited to, like, we're going, dotting the I's, crossing? Or are they doing this strictly for just the process? Because we know of the NFL process and everything that has to encompass that. Is that why they're doing that?
I think
because
that
it's a joke.
I think all teams now, because, like, if you look, Joe, look at the teams that have coaching and GM openings. The official accounts like on Twitter of those teams like tweet out every time an interview is completed. Like you go on like the I know it's I guess there you must have to make that officially known. It can't be to get the fan base excited because the fan base isn't going to be excited about you interviewing Arthur Smith or Ron Rivera or any of these other hacks. Like, it just...
Let me tell you this right now. If I'm Woody Johnson, and knowing the has-beens...
Joe's mic's... Refresh, Joe. Come back to us, Joe. Come back and refresh. We'll get Joe back in a moment, as he was having some issues with the microphone. But I know what Joe's talking about. It's extremely gutless when you have to go... and see that your team is doing all of that. So nobody wants to do it. No, Joe. We got a no-fly zone for Joe right now. Joe's hot right now because he's in a no-fly zone. So we'll come back and we'll get Joe in the mix going here. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159 on a Thursday night. We're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Marvin Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159 on a Thursday night. As Joe got you going here, and now I'm back. Joe, you all right now?
Yeah, I think I'm all right. Can you hear me? Am I live or is it Memorex back in the day?
Nope, you're back, buddy. You're good to go.
All right, so here's what I was saying after the New York Jets. Knowing all these gutless coaches that Woody and this organization has thrown into the mix, right? Yeah. They're not getting a quality head coach. Let's be honest. They're not going to – but Ben Johnson ain't going to the Jets. Bobby Slowick ain't going to the Jets. Cohen is not going to, you know, wow anybody from the Jets fan base, and the Jets wouldn't, you know, probably hire him, right? So if I'm Woody Johnson and your team is absolutely going nowhere, I would just hire and throw as much money at Deion just to Bright Lights Big City, right? Forget Dallas. Go Bright Lights Big City, Deion, whatever you want. Try and cultivate a winning organization. Let's see if you could do it. That would be, if I was in charge, I would throw a boatload of money at Deion because they're not getting anybody. And on top of it, Aaron Rodgers comes out today and says, oh, well, we need the GM and we need the coach and then I'll make a decision. How about you go into a cave, you lock yourself in there, and you don't come back until 2027 because he should have no say in what goes on with this organization. Boy. Mm. I'm dealing with some snow. I don't know. I think it's the snow in the area. I don't know. Am I wrong? I don't know what's going on.
You're not wrong, Joe. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I'm saying, we have Aaron Rodgers talking about what he wants to do, but for this, he has no say.
I saw you were particularly upset about that today. He was on them.
Somebody should give him a swift kick in the ass. This guy's coming out. He couldn't wait to put up numbers when they were eliminated from the playoffs. He's going on McAfee with that grin. I hate that grin on his face. I can't stand it. If I could blindside him just once, I'd love to knock it off. I really would.
Yeah, I don't think that he's going to be back there. I don't think that he's going to be back there.
Well, really what don't. Team is going to take you? Think Tennessee with the number one overall pick would trade the number one overall pick to get Aaron Rodgers? You think they would do that?
No, Joe. What do you mean trade saying. The number one overall well, pick to get Aaron Rodgers?
My point is this. Tennessee, right? They're going nowhere. They are not one player or a quarterback away.
Yeah, but they have the number. Well, first of all, you're talking about a whole other set of worms, another can of worms here. If I was Tennessee in this draft, I would 1,000% trade back if somebody.
But that's my point. But then who's going to be your quarterback?
Well, I mean, I don't think that any of these quarterbacks are worth the number one overall pick this year. I don't think you do either.
No,
I don't think any of these guys are worth the number one overall pick.
If you're asking me which quarterback would I go all in on, it's tough because I think Cam Ward has never had a bad game, but he throws across his body. He's not going to get away with that in terms of the NFL. They'll pick him off more times than not. I do feel that Shedeur Sanders has worked the best with a terrible offensive line. So if you could put up numbers with a gutless offensive line, that's what you're going to get in the NFL, right? So I would probably take Shedeur over any other quarterback. But if you're Tennessee, you have nobody. You're Tajay Spears, Tony Pollard. Who's your weapon? You got Ridley there outside. No, but I'm serious. Who do you have?
I don't disagree with you. I think they need like everything. They really do need people on almost all levels. So for me, that's trading back a couple slots if somebody's willing to move up. Into there, I would do it. I would entertain it.
Let me ask you this question. These teams that are in flux, the Jets, Tennessee, Minnesota now because of this situation, Jacksonville, right? If you're clearly I told you, Jacksonville is the best job, hands down. You got young talent. You're in a winnable division. If I'm an OC, I want to go there above anybody else. You can win there immediately with the talent that they have. If you go to any of these other organizations, you got to worry about so much. And Tennessee is 3-4 years away from being a winner.
I guess I could see what you're saying, that it would be the best job. I don't know. You've got a quarterback that I don't think is worth $300 million. It's there too. So I don't know if that's too great either. You need a big guru. You need a real quarterback guru to go in there and fix that issue, Joe. I don't know. I don't know if any. I guess that people thought the Patriot job was most attractive, and that's already off the board. Most of these jobs suck, Joe. That's why they're open. They mean Chicago, the Jets, the Raiders. I mean, these are some of the worst jobs.
Why are they waiting? So Chicago, right? If you're the Bears, what do you don't know the guy you want to cultivate your talent?
Well, remember this, Joe. If you want some whiz kid offensive coordinator, you got to wait till the playoffs are over. So you got to remember that.
I understand that. Yes.
And I think they all want him, which is why you're also seeing them all. They all want to sit down with him again. Last week, because the Lions were on a bye, they had to, that was the only time you could interview him now until the Lions are eliminated. If the Lions don't get eliminated until the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl, you're talking another 4 weeks, 3-4 weeks before you're talking to this guy again. And if the Raiders think they could get him and the Bears think they could get him and, suddenly you got a bunch of teams that are going to kind of be in a standstill, waiting for this guy to talk to him again. So there's your problem with that. The mighty, everybody's All-American coach, Ben Johnson. Man, that guy better be good, Joe. He better be good for all the talk up he's getting. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Barbara and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. Good to have you with us on a Thursday night. So we got a lot to do. We'll do some more of the games. I've saw a lot of specials, Joe, which we haven't gotten to do a lot this year just because we haven't been together much, that we can look at. We got a lot of stuff live that we're watching. Now, you just sent me this, Joe, and we'll button up the coaching stuff that you've been doing with this. This leads to another thing that I actually did want to bring up with you. You sent me this. Kellen Moore is considered a top candidate for the Cowboys head coaching vacancy. Now, they did put in a request to interview him. I mean, Joe, they threw him out of town 2 years ago when he was the offensive coordinator and McCarthy was the coach. They told him to get lost. And now we're going to bring him back and make him the head coach. You talk about uninspiring. That's about as uninspiring as it gets. And to go a step further, can you believe, Joe, that they let these coaches, and I get it, you know, you don't want to stop these guys from getting jobs. And for the teams that didn't have the bye, I don't know when you're supposed to do it. But, like, Monken from the Ravens is interviewing today and tomorrow for two jobs. Moore's going to interview for the Eagles. I think Brady for the Bills is as well. Like, we got big games here this weekend. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I mean,
Carver,
come on.
But no, there's, I mean, I don't think, like, you really think Brady and Johnson and Glenn are spending that much time? I brought this up today about Kirby Smart when he was the coach of Alabama, D.C. in the national championship game, got hired at Georgia, and his defense stepped up in a title game, no problem. I mean, these are professionals. Do you really think that they're spending that much time breaking down what
Wait
they
a
need
second.
To do for
That's
a head coach?
Different. He got
Why is
the
that
job.
Different?
He got the yeah. job and yeah. finished out his work with Alabama before he started. You're talking okay. about guys who have never been head coaches in
but,
the NFL before.
Yeah, but they're not. But
they
what do you
want
think
to grab
doing?
That brass ring. And they, okay. I mean, wouldn't you want to throw all of your focus into having a good interview so that you become a head coach in the NFL, but I have to carve out a small
no,
amount of
because,
time to just
because let me
I'm
ask you this.
Game plan for this weekend?
Hang on 1 second. You're right to one capacity. Here's the other side. You ready? You win a championship, right? And you dominate your side of the football elevates to a next level. You're going to have leverage. And you're going to have negotiation power above and beyond, right? Especially showing that you can handle both, right? So that's where I disagree. And so he goes on an interview last week. Do we really think that he's not prepping the game? He doesn't have the game plan in place. If we're Ben Johnson, we don't.
Ben Johnson's a different story. They did last week on the bye week. The Lions and Chief people
did last
week.
Who are you talking about, Brady? Who are you talking about?
Listen. There's you got Monken, Moore, right. Brady, all these guys for teams that played last week and they're playing this week.
Kellen Moore has been there. He's the front runner for that. It's not like he doesn't know the organization. You're telling me he goes back
it's
to Jerry.
It's not about that.
I mean,
it's not about
what's
that.
What's it about?
It's about that these guys now have to take whatever it is, 2, 3, 4 hours out of their day. 2 days before or 1 day before playing a huge game, and they got to go do an interview for a job that they want. And that takes time and focus away from trying to win their game this weekend. It takes time.
Yeah,
and focus
but here's
away
the thing. If
that.
It doesn't go, if it, but hear me out. If it doesn't, if they're not allowed or Campbell or whoever, right? Let's say it doesn't allow them to go, right? Then when they're a head coach, you're going to have the same thing with their coordinators. You want to buy into the team and the unity perspective. You got to trust that your coordinator got you this far, that you're going to allow them to interview for what we know. I'm just saying, like, how would you? So what are you saying? We bet against these coordinators? We're going to bet against the Eagles?
No.
We're going to bet, I mean.
Because, listen, it's everybody. And I've also been told, you know, the reason it's later in the week is because all the game planning's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. By Thursday, Friday, the game plan.
I would disagree. I would disagree. I'd rather do it earlier in the week and have all of that forward than have to get prepped and then all of a sudden then not be ready.
I don't think it's a good scene like to be doing this the Thursday and Friday before these divisional playoff games. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. We got another hour to go. Carver and Lisa, Sportsman Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back up.